You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison. Yay!
Attention WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for two open participating member seats and one open listener sponsor seat to serve three-year terms on the Board of Directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at the annual meeting in June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2028. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 29th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 29th. More information and board applications are available at wordfm.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT a vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
Good evening and welcome to Query, Madison's longest-running show dedicated to LGBTQ+ issues. I'm Matvey, your host. Before we get started, adult topics will be discussed tonight. We will return to an earlier conversation on the sex worker scene of Chicago. To listen to this at another time, you can find this project on WRT's website titled Sex Workers Built This. With that, let's dive in.
I auditioned at multiple clubs, and they either gave me the runaround or told me to come back another day or just flat out told me they weren't hiring me. And it got to a point where I'm like, you know, do I want to leave my city or do I want to create something in my city to where I can dance and also my friends can dance?
This is Ava Marie, founder of Black Stripper Brigade,
a Chicago-based collective of Black, queer strippers and pole dancers committed to combating the current lack of local opportunities and community for Black dancers.
The strip clubs in Chicago just simply do not want to hire certain Black dancers, and even myself included. I created this organization specifically because I could not work at any of the clubs.
Unwilling to accept the racist hiring practices of Chicago's sex work industry, Ava decided to make a space of her own.
It was an idea that we came up with because we wanted to dance in some different pole stuff in Chicago. And there's a few different collectives throughout the city. And we felt as though there was nothing that was highlighting exactly what we were looking for. There were some that were like pole showcase specific to the point where they didn't have any community offerings. It was just shows, just ticketing, you know, stuff like that. We wanted to be able to have the shows and then still offer that community space and still offer like the members, which are the dancers that are a part of the brigade, that membership opportunity to be able to hang out outside of the group and do different things like that. So just trying to bridge the gap between the stuff that we already have offered to us in Chicago and new things.
The industry treated Ava as disposable, but the city's communities saw something precious in Black Stripper Brigade.
Every time I went, I've wanted to go to more. It's just, I think they make it like a really safe space, but also like everyone is welcome to the party, to the celebration, and everyone is here to celebrate, no matter what it is.
This is Ayana, a regular attendee of Black Stripper Brigade's pole shows.
Black Stripper Brigade is, it has a lot of representation, and like a lot of quiet things that are very important for us to see in the community. I mean, it's in the name, like having all Black strippers perform at these events and having that kind of representation is like incredibly important just by existing.
It's become a joy to be not only invited, but to be really welcomed into that space.
This is Gretchen.
I'm a white, queer, cisgender woman, sex worker, but I'm also a writer. I'm a trained journalist. I have a master's in education. I wrote a story about BSB specifically, and I also interviewed someone from SWAP. I reported on that for 6 months, and due to that reporting, I've made two great friends out of that, which is Ava from BSB and Queen from SWAP.
You can find Gretchen's story on Chicago Reader, titled Sex Workers Live Here.
What I really see in these rooms and in these events that they're in is the joy that is around. And I went to an event last week and it was a house party, you know, pole show. And I knew a lot of people there, but a lot of people I didn't know, and everyone is just so able to be themselves. And it's an amazing space to be in.
With communities from all over Chicago finding a home at Black Stripper Brigade, Ava has cultivated what the mainstream industry failed to offer: a safe and empowering space for those marginalized. And Black Stripper Brigade is not alone in their story of communal upbringing.
Everyone was like, we demand that you continue to operate because we need you guys. And I was like, you're absolutely right.
This is Queen, communications manager at Sex Workers Outreach Project Chicago, or SWAP, as you heard it mentioned by Gretchen. SWAP is a
Black-led grassroots organization dedicated to providing direct aid and advocacy for anyone working in the sex industry.
So it was literally, it's been all hands on deck ever since, and it just makes me feel very, very full. I have a great team. I have a great, you know, board of directors now. So I feel like we really support each other. I feel like we have a really, really nice network of community members.
Both Black Stripper Brigade and SWAP are supporting sex workers, but focus on different needs.
SWAP, for me, it means a lot to me in that of the outreach it does, right? Sex Worker Outreach Project. SWAP works with Black and brown sex workers, where BSB works primarily with Black sex workers.
Today, we're going to explore how the commitment to collective solidarity has uplifted Black Stripper Brigade, SWAP, and their communities.
As sex workers, I feel like the sex work community is different from a lot of communities in the sense that, you know, we are facing a particular stigma that brings us together for safety and just comfortability in our work. And some of the people that I work with that are a part of the brigade and people that I've collaborated with, venue spaces and other organizations, are people that are a part of the sex work community and they just want to help uplift other sex workers.
Like for other marginalized groups, operating in communities is a survival necessity for many sex workers. But SWAP and Black Stripper Brigade have created their own niche.
Being in Chicago, you are around a plethora of organizations and mutual aid. And I think for sex workers, it was something that was so apparent and it felt new. BSB has really become a staple in the sex work community for Black queer people, Black trans people.
And of course, we cater to all races of sex workers, but primarily we try to prioritize BIPOC, trans, and gender nonconforming sex workers because they are the highest at risk for death, disease, lack of resources to medical care, you know, issues with being able to change their pronouns and even have gender affirming care. A lot of folks can't get IDs because of their identities, you know, so we try to make sure that we prioritize those folks. But, you know, we don't turn people away. If we have the resources, we will make sure that we can either provide them directly or provide you with, you know, a community resource that we have.
Focusing on most marginalized members of their communities moves Black Stripper Brigade and SWAP to continuously expand how safety is defined.
Having a more diverse crowd, having a crowd that is majority sapphic or not cishet men, creates a lot of safety for us as dancers.
This is Jerry, a Chicago-based dancer.
They tend to be people who really may not feel comfortable in a strip club. They come to us because they want to see all of that, but they don't feel comfortable in that environment where there tends to be more alcohol, more men, more skinny dancers, more white dancers, all of those kind of things. So the crowd comes to us and they're very willing and very open and very excited by what we do. They make me feel respected as a person and as a dancer, rather than in a strip club. The environment is more about how somebody can save money, make money on you. You're always kind of watching your back, and I don't feel like I have to do that when I'm at BSB shows, because people are there genuinely just to support and happy to be there.
Both collectives know well what's missing from the conventional venues, but they do more than just filling the gaps.
To celebrate, we should still respect each other's boundaries, and, you know, everyone here, like, deserves to be here, you know, but also, like, in a way that celebrates that and celebrates independence and being confident and powerful, but also, like, showing each other how to do that and how to be that for yourself.
Black Stripper Brigade and SWAP continuously expand their understanding of what safety means by asking their communities for feedback.
So we've been talking about safe spaces and what constitutes a safe space. And we were discussing how no matter what the person that is conducting the group says, if the individuals have stated that they don't feel safe, it is not a safe space.
Putting safety before convenience means that the collectives review critically each of their formal partnerships.
We don't really just jump at random venues. We really do our homework on where they stand. There are some places in Chicago that people have told me, hey, let's do a show here. But if it's ran by an abuser, I don't want my brand there, you know? And I think that that's something that a lot of people that come to our shows can really respect.
We are very passionate about the work. So we represent our organization, period. So we're all very intentional with the people that we work with. You know, we are always trying to vet people like, hey, you know, like we had someone approach us about XYZ. They work for XYZ. You know, do you know this person? Have you ever worked with this person? Have you heard anything about this person? Because we don't want to accidentally align with someone or an organization that doesn't align with our values in the community that we serve.
The commitment to their communities leads SWAP and Black Stripper Brigade to miss out on certain opportunities.
There was a venue that we were almost right to signing the contract, and they had all these allegations of being racist to other performers, and it was people that I knew personally as well, and we didn't end up signing the contract, and we unfortunately didn't end up having the show, and that sucked to not have the show, but everybody respected that we chose to pull out instead of just doing the show to just do the show, you know?
But these compromises are not hard choices for the collectives to make.
I don't want to put anybody in a uncomfortable spot. Not dancers, not, you know, customers, not people that we affiliate with, by putting us in a space that doesn't respect sex workers, doesn't respect women, doesn't respect anything that we stand for.
Some of this integrity is nourished by the communal connections alone, but it is also a cornerstone principle for both collectives. As a result, both collectives' definition of safety is holistic and ever-expanding.
Anytime that I book a venue, I try to make sure that it's ADA accessible. Anytime. That's one of the first things that I look at. Because, again, inclusivity is very important. There are sex workers that are disabled. We want to make sure, and there are friends and family that are disabled. There are their customers that are disabled. There are patrons that are just walking in the bar like, oh, what's going on? They could be disabled. You know what I mean? So we want to make sure that anybody and everybody is able to enjoy whatever we have going on.
With a holistic approach to safety, Black Stripper Brigade and SWAP can't always meet all of their community's needs by themselves. But instead of accepting their limitations, the collectives call in for allies.
We are especially thrilled to be working with Black Stripper Brigade because of the fact that this is a community that is at higher risk of COVID, and our core mission is to reduce the chances that people in our community get COVID while they're at work, while they're performing, while they're in community with other people.
This is Emily from Clean Air Club, a collective that
provides free air purifiers to Chicago artists, touring musicians, and organizers.
Air purifiers help reduce the chances that you will get infected with COVID when you're in a shared space with other people. And COVID, as we know, disproportionately impacts Black, queer, and trans communities. So these communities have higher death rates, higher disability rates due to COVID infection.
Black Scripa Brigade and SWAP haven't always been conscious about COVID, but their commitment to fostering an intersectional understanding of safety has led them to requiring masks at their events.
Both of our organizations try as best as we can to operate on the idea of prioritizing the needs of the most marginalized in our community. And what Black Scripa Brigade and we identified was that the needs of disabled people, especially, and people with long COVID in our community, helped make the entire space safer for everybody. And so through communicating with us, and I'm sure many other people, Black Scripa Brigade came to see that requiring masks was another safety measure they could put in place that benefited everyone, but also made their spaces safer and more accessible for the most marginalized among us. And we try to come at this just from a perspective of inviting everyone to do better when they know better. And I think Black Scripa Brigade and SWAP is a perfect example of that.
The mask requirement is not affecting really anybody in the sense that, you know, we've had some people at the beginning who didn't come to a mask show before, and then they started coming to some of our shows that were masked. So it wasn't like we felt like we were alienating any group. But what we really wanted to make sure is that we don't have any events where dancers, especially, you know, sex workers, our vulnerable community who need to be able to work when they need to be able to work. We don't want anybody getting sick. Like, if you are working at one of our events and then, you know, you have to go to the club the next day or you have clients or whatever, that's being able to spread COVID a lot farther than some of these other community organizations that do some small events that are not mask required. And we were just really thinking about the impact on just our city as a whole, the impact on the dancers and the people who are in our spaces as well, to make sure that no BSB event is ever a super spreader. That's not something that we want to, you know, be perpetuating.
Cultivating a deeply intersectional practice of safety takes a village, and the collectives took the time to build up this level of communal dedication.
Now I feel like we are in a space where we have an actual like group of people and we have a solid team. And, you know, we are constantly checking in with each other. You know, we are making sure that we consult with each other before we make any purchases. You know, like, hey, I wanted to get these kids for this donation drive. What do you guys think? Nobody has more power over the other. You know, we all operate equally. We all have equal operating power. And, you know, we always try to make sure that we consult with each other before we make any, like, big decisions, especially when it comes to our monies.
Horizontalized communication keeps all of the collective's members accountable in upholding solidarity with their communities.
So now at this stage, Queen and I are doing a lot of the facilitating of events and the additional things that are coming up, but we are always in the group chat with the additional brigade members chatting about it, asking people, hey, have you been to this venue? Hey, what do we know about this?
You know, like making sure that we always operate as a group, you know, like one band, one sound. We operate best when we're together. We keep us safe. You know what I mean?
Both collectives value feedback and not just the core members.
And I think that intentionality of the event for the dancers is what led some of them to really becoming, you know, more in-depth and more involved in the operations of the organization and just the community building as a whole. And being able to have that community where it's not just me running the show and making the decision solely, but I'm also checking in with each individual person that dances with us, works with us, vendors, DJs, everybody, to consistently get that feedback on what went well and what did not go well, because not every single show we've had has been the best show on earth. I've been happy with every single, you know, person that has come to our shows and every single event that we've had, but there's always room for improvement. And I think our consistent knack for wanting to push forward and see what we can do better every single event is what creates that intentionality that people always comment on.
With the community taking responsibility for shaping the success of their collectives, passion and care extend beyond event safety.
A couple weeks ago, you know, Queen, my friend who works at Swap, is organizing these events, like these drives for people. So people who can come get clothes and people who can come get harm reduction tools and kits and feminine care products and things like that.
Swap prioritizes serving sex working communities, but others benefit from their efforts as well.
She had called for all these volunteers, and, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, sex work feels very small in this, like, when we're in it, it feels like everyone kind of knows each other. But I was so surprised to see at that drive, at that volunteer session, that the place was packed with people. And I think it's a testament to, not to toot my own horn, but, like, it's a testament to what my story said, was that people in the community, whether they overtly are involved or not, they do care about sex workers.
Consistently proving their dedication to solidarity, Swap and Black Scripper Brigade are met with ever-growing reciprocation.
There's people in the group that sometimes they do not even want to get paid. I still pay them at the end of the day because I want them to have, you know, money for their labor, but they ask to volunteer. They ask to, hey, use my car to go pick up these chairs for the event. Use my car to go get this. And that definitely shocked me as it started to continue, because I'm like, wow, you guys really do care about this.
As community shows up more and more for the collectives, Swap and Black Scripper Brigade expand the reach of their efforts.
Because we do have some partnerships with other clinics. So we have a partnership with Beyond Legal Aid. You know, we have a partnership with them where they're able to take on so many cases from our network of folks that apply for legal assistance. You know, we're in the process of, like, restructuring our housing assistance program. At one point we had a tenant, and we were kind of, we partnered with this other housing organization initiative, and essentially we put our funds together and we were able to pay this young lady's rent. So it was kind of like subsidized housing. We were, from my understanding, we were able to determine how much she was able to afford, and then we paid the difference for the rest of her lease.
As the network keeps growing, Black Scripper Brigade and Swap are able to reach communities that would otherwise be too distant.
We're also able to do outreach at a church in Chatham. Every first Sunday, we do outreach, and people could come to the church, and they can get harm reduction, they can get their reproductive supplies. And having a relationship with an organization like Pride in the Pews is phenomenal. You know, you have queer pastors that are here and that are willing to, you know, accept our community and accept us, and, you know, allow us to share our resources with their communities. And that's big. Like, I have never in the history of ever known for a SWAP chapter to be at a church for outreach consistently.
Black Scripper Brigade and SWAP have nurtured a unique culture of communal care, but they still exist within the broader environments that rarely uphold the collective's safety standards.
There's been plenty of times where we're trying to utilize a venue for an event, and, you know, the venue owner will be all for it until they find out what our organization does. And then they're like, oh, never mind. We don't want to be aligned with that. And I'm just like, I don't know if it's because, like, they assume that we're, like, trafficking. I don't know if they think we're running a brothel. I don't know what they think. But I just know that we've been told no numerous times, because not only we're Black, but we're also sex workers, and they don't like being aligned with that. If we were a burlesque troupe, we wouldn't have those problems. But anytime there's, like, a go-go set, or someone wants to do, like, a nice, like, pole performance, it's like, oh no, that's okay, because burlesque is classy and it's palatable.
Despite having broad recognition, sex worker collectives still have doors shut in their face.
How important it is for people to unlearn whorephobia. Whorephobia gets in the way of a lot of our opportunities, because of lack of education and lack of willingness to be educated. I feel like a lot of people that like work, you know, like square civilian jobs, they don't realize how common sex work is. Whether it just be like, you know, you're exchanging pictures, you wanted to get your nails done, so you had sex with this guy. Like, you know, that to some degree is sex work. And I feel like a lot of people, because there's so much shame surrounding sex work, that they are willing to denounce anything that is associated with it. And I feel like we just need to allow ourselves to be educated.
Chicago's stigmatization of Black sex workers has a long and local history.
A lot of this queerness, this Blackness, and this erotic movement comes not only from Chicago, but from the South Side and from, you know, previous red light districts. And now we don't really have the opportunity to be able to do that much in the South Side because of over-policing, because of lack of spaces, because of lack of Black-owned spaces, because the fact that the Black-owned spaces get shut down very quickly, especially if they're underground, especially if they're in the South Side. So I would love to see more infrastructure in the South Side. I would love to see more allowing for this kind of thing all over the city, because the segregation does keep out some people who I know would be very interested in the mission, and I know we're very interested in doing it.
There is many barriers Swap and Black Stripper Brigade can't yet break, but the collectives don't linger on the limitations.
What I love about Swap and BSB is that they're both unapologetically themselves, and the people who just get it, get it.
I do think that the tide is changing, actually. When we first started, we were just a little bit anxious about how we were going to be received, and also, you know, obviously ticket sales. Like, are people going to come to the show? Are people going to be caring about the show? And, you know, the first few that we did were sold out. The first few were consistently sold out. It was to the point where people were like, you know, if the link is going to drop, please text me personally because I want to make sure I get tickets.
Everything each of us does when it comes to the safety of all of us in these entertainment spaces, which are also spaces for workers, is a part of this larger network of solidarity and safety during an ongoing pandemic. So the interest of Black Stripper Brigade are also the interests of Clean Air Club, even though that may not be apparent on the surface. Because in reality, the same forces that marginalize Black queer sex workers are the ones that treat disabled people as acceptable sacrifices during a pandemic. And this is white supremacy, this is capitalism, this is heteropatriarchy. So we're in the same fight, we're being crushed by the same forces, and we have to support each other, we have to be in solidarity with one another. So each of these organizations, both Black Stripper Brigade, SWAP, and Clean Air Club, are nodes in a larger network of community members getting together to create safe spaces in the midst of a lot of political instability and oppression.
With resilient support networks, Black Stripper Brigade and SWAP are confident that they can sustain themselves and their communities.
BSB and SWAP, they're focused on sustainability. I've seen a lot of collectives like go up and just have a few and then not be able to sustain it, you know? So the sustaining from the community is really what's allowing that to kind of blossom. So I appreciate that.
Regardless of what the future may hold, Black Stripper Brigade and SWAP trust community care to keep them moving forward.
I feel like we're going to be in rooms and have resources we've never had before. Like, 2024 really showed me that, like, we are doing the work that we're supposed to be doing and that we are impacting the community that we're supposed to be impacting in the way that we are aiming to do. And 2024 really just showed me that, like, yeah, as long as we keep doing this work, we're going to be okay.
You've been listening to Query, Madison's longest-running LGBTQ+ radio show on community radio WORT Madison. I'm Matvey Mozhaev, and thank you for listening.
Do you find yourself provoking conversations with your friends and coworkers? Are you a strong listener? Then you should consider applying to become the next host of A Public Affair, WORT's daily hour-long call-in talk program. We're now accepting applications for this volunteer position. The next host will be the voice of Tuesday's show and join a stellar lineup of folks who engage listeners in conversations on social, cultural, and political issues of importance every day of the week. We're looking for someone who is curious and well-informed, comfortable speaking on air, someone who can think on their feet, and has at least 5 hours a week to prepare and host the show. To find out more information or apply, go to WORTFM.org/talkhost.
Phone a Friend became the first of its kind in Australia, a self-help phone helpline where the rainbow community could support each other.
And we would yell out just at the door, out of the bars, into the street. And we had to do it quickly because the bar owners, they hated us. The only thing we could think of and what we did, linked arms and started chanting, stop police attacks on gays, women and blacks. Work in solidarity and let your voices be heard. Silence is not an option.